You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show. And we're missing Dan, but Dan should be calling in momentarily. He has been chastised for being late already, so we ought to hear from Dan. And we've got a very special guest on today on the Dan and Dave Show. And we, you know, as everybody knows, we try, America's Web Radio has become a national platform as opposed to just a local entity. And so even though this lady is local, Ellen Deal, she is also known for her Facebook page and what she does on Facebook, and also being a super big Trump supporter. So we decided to have her on today and let her talk about, wanted to get her reaction really to what's going on with Trump. And I hate to say all the stuff, but it seems like every time we turn around, there's something going on. So while we wait, well, Dan will be coming in any time, but we've got Ellen on the line. Good morning, Ellen. How you doing?
Good morning, Dave. I am doing great, and thank you for that nice intro. I always love talking about all things Trump.
Well, I tell you, I think as time goes on, we sort of continue to hear that it was somewhat of a surprise with Trump coming in and winning. But at the same time, it wasn't a surprise in your mind. I know that let's see, Dan's calling the wrong number for some reason. I don't know what Dan's doing, but Dan needs to call the 305 number if he's listening to me. So 305-848-8888. And we're on, Dan. Anyway.
Well, I will go ahead and tell you what I thought the entire time through the primaries and the general election. It just did not feel right in my gut what the media was saying about Trump. When you looked at the size of a Trump rally, 20,000 people turning out, and then other rallies with only 500 people, it did not seem logical that they were saying that her was going to win by such a landslide. So I knew in my gut that the media was lying all along, and I don't want to say I called it because it sounds so prideful, but I called it. I said that it would be 80% for Trump, squashed to 57%. And when you look at a map of the United States, it is blood red. And I would say when you look at the counties that were won by Trump, just visually looking at the map, that's 80% red. So the folks that are our media now that had it wrong in the primaries, they had it wrong in the general election, they had it wrong for Brexit, they had it wrong for Brussels, they had it wrong for Sweden, and now they got it wrong at the Academy Awards. So I think everybody's getting hacked by Russia.
You know, well, it's not only Russia now, it's Obama wiretapping Trump during the election. So, you know, I don't know how other people feel. I know how I feel, and I'm getting tired of all of it. You know, we're going to have to start sending adults to Washington, in my opinion. And I must say, I respect Trump for bringing up issues. I respect him for fighting back. But at the same token, I don't like what it's always bringing up something, you know.
Well, I actually defend our president on his Twitter comments. So many people say, and I think many people are just parroting what they hear. They hear people say, "Oh, well, I just wish he would stop what he's saying on Twitter." But I think he needs to continue doing what he's doing on Twitter, because that's the platform where he's getting the news out. If he weren't doing that, the liberal media would just continue to push and squash and control. So he's using that as his way to speak out. And I would not be surprised if somewhere between Wednesday and Saturday we find out a lot of very interesting news about the wiretapping situation. I'm not saying we know what it is. I'm just saying look at how many times Trump has called something and then it's turned out. I'll repeat myself. Brexit, Brussels, Sweden, on and on. So this is something that he's the president of the United States. Surely he's not just coming off the cuff about wiretapping. He saw something. He was told something. Something was shown to him. So I would say this is real.
Well, and where do you think it's going to go? And Dan's on now. So good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I haven't panicked so bad since the last time I lost the code to the men's restroom at the park. So
you're still using the public restrooms, huh?
I do. I had to go on the women's side, but anyway, that's another story. I'm here.
Well, as long as you identified as a woman on that particular time, it's okay.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, so back to Sir Trump. Back to Trump and this wiretapping thing. Is he going to be able to prove it?
I don't know if he is going to be able to prove it, but I feel that he is going to be able to prove it. Again, it's one of those things where the evidence isn't out yet, the proof isn't out yet, but I would just be delighted to see the left crumble in on themselves and it to be found out that there was a lot of deception going on. We know that during the general election, the left and so many other factions were against Trump. It would not surprise, I don't think, anyone to find out that there was wiretapping going on.
And what should be done?
And what would be the purpose of the wiretapping?
What they've been saying now is they're trying to figure out a connection with Russia, but I think a lot of people remember in the debate between Barack Hussein Obama and Mitt Romney that Hussein Obama said to Romney, "Hey, Mitt, the 1980s called and they want their foreign policy back." What he was saying was Russia's not very much of a threat. What the Democratic Party also needs to be reminded of was just before Barry Sotero Hussein Obama's second term, and the reason why I call him Barry is because when he was growing up, he went by Barry, and the reason I use Sotero is that his mother's second husband, that last name was Sotero, and that was one of the identities he lived under for a little while, so Barry Sotero Hussein Obama. Also, before going into his second term, sat down with the Russian aide to Vladimir Putin, and we have it on tape. There was a hot mic where he said, "Let him know I'll have more leverage when I'm in office." And the guy said, "I will convey this to Vladimir." So who's got the problem with the Russians? I would say that the Democrat Party is probably, or at least the Obama administration, they're probably trying to cover their tracks in some way.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, Dan, are you getting as tired of this as I am of, you know, they're not getting any business done. All they're doing is back and forth. And that Schumer, in my opinion, we should find an oak tree for him. And same way with Pelosi and all this. I want to start sending adults to Washington that get something done. You know, we're into what, this is almost his second month in office, and, you know, today he comes out with his second proposal on immigration. Why can't we? Ellen, why do you think we can't get something done in Washington? And it's not just the Democrats. It's the Republicans as well.
Yeah. We are on day 46 of 100. And when you look at the changing dynamics of our nation, I think the Democratic Party thought that they had enough voters to take over once and for all. And what the Democratic Party would like to see happen is socialism. Unfortunately, what a lot of young people think socialism is they think that it has something to do with social media or loving each other and caring for each other. What they don't realize is that we could end up like a Venezuela, where the zoo animals are starving to death in Venezuela because they don't have enough food. But the good news is the people are starving so much as well that they're going into the zoos and grabbing the animals to take them home and kill them and eat them. So the Democratic Party is wanting to turn us into a socialist nation because once they have control of the country, they are going to have control for a long, long time. It doesn't seem rational or make sense to me, and so many of us need to get behind Donald Trump. There was a rally recently, and there's a rally coming up later in March if you guys want to hear about that.
I would. I live in a little community south of Portland, Oregon, and there was a Donald Trump rally in my community over the weekend. I didn't go, but I saw some video of it, and it looked fairly peaceful, pretty well attended.
Yeah. The Trump supporters, we are the ones who are peaceful and calm. It's the left creating all that pandemonium, and they're the ones that are having riots. These are not peaceful protests. These are riots. When you throw a rock through a window, set something on fire, and put a business out of business until they can reconstruct, that is a riot. And you're going to see more and more of these rallies popping up organically across the United States. We're working on it here in the state of Georgia to get more and more rallies going by county. And in the same way that you saw the voters turn out for Trump, the American people overall, I'm going to go with 80% again, the American people want to be able to earn a good income, feel safe, send their kids to a good school, and that's why the public is starting to take care of this, because the media is not, and we know it's lies.
You present your position very clearly. The problem that I hear from so many of my left-leaning friends here is they don't seem to have a position. They're just in opposition to mm-hmm. the positions that you've outlined or the positions that Trump outlines. And mm-hmm. there doesn't seem to be very much clarity expressed in the Democratic Party right now. That being said, they do have a lot of emotion. And is that driven by Soros money, or is it organized, or is it ground roots, or what's your feeling?
I tell you, Ellen, let's wait on that answer if you can. We got to take a hard break.
Sure.
We'll be back with Ellen Deal and Dan from the Left Coast right after these messages.
Cook Immigration Partners is your passport through the immigration maze. Whether it's help with E-Verify in your business, or help in how to document a new employee under the new I-9 rules, or if you marry a foreign national, Cook Immigration Partners is your best choice for a legal advocate. Call us today at 866-286-6200. That's 866-286-6200, or visit us on the web at www.immigration.net.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby. The first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And welcome back to the Dan and Dave Show. Dan on the left coast. Ellen and I are on the right coast. And I can't emphasize right coast more. But anyway, Dan had just asked Ellen a very interesting question. And you want to just paraphrase it right quick, Dan, and let Ellen answer it.
That was before the break. I mean, that it, at my age, that's a lifetime ago. I think I was asking Ellen if the demonstrations on the left were organized by Soros or if they were ground roots effort, a viral effort.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing is a combination. So you have your paid Soros protesters, and then you have your people who don't have anything else to do. And in the same way that you were saying that people on the left don't have a solid, coherent argument, when they're out there protesting, they're actually, if you listen and pay attention, they're talking about different things. So let's take, for example, the protests the day after the inauguration. Trump has been in office not 24 hours, and these women walking around in hats made to look like female genitalia are marching around protesting how oppressed they are. Now, when did they get oppressed? In the less than 24 hours that Donald Trump had been in office? No. I guess they're talking about the oppression they faced over the last 8 years under the Obama administration. But that demonstrates how clearly they do not know what they're talking about. Now, if you want to talk about oppression, let's talk about what would happen to these same women if they were dropped into an Islamic, Muslim-based nation and they were wearing female genitalia on their heads. What would happen is the ISIS, the Taliban, would not come out and grab them. The townspeople would come grab them, stone them, kill them, stomp them to death. So it's not even that a radical military force would come out and take care of these infidels. It's the regular day-to-day people in these areas that would wipe out the opposition. I'll quit talking, but I've got more.
My email.
Well, I quite agree with you, and that the demonstration with the apparel on top of the head really upset my wife. She came home just screaming about it, and she doesn't get political too often, but Trump has given my wife a real motivation to get involved, to watch the news, see what's going on. It's interesting, and if he has done that for her, I can imagine that he's done it for a lot of other women across the United States.
You are exactly right. I actually had no interest in politics until April of 2016, because of what was going on with the election and the clear opposition.
Okay.
Trump, I felt very strongly that something needed to be done and had just jumped in both feet.
Yeah. And you're not saying Trump is perfect, or maybe, are you saying Trump is perfect? I'll just ask you that.
Sure. No, Trump is not perfect. No man or no woman is perfect. There was only one perfect person, and that was Jesus Christ. But we are not. We were not electing a priest or a prophet or a clergyman of any kind. We were electing a man to be able to stand up and defend the United States and put America first, which is what needs to happen. And any American that doesn't believe America should be first really ought to just move to Cuba. It's nice and warm down there. So, no, Trump is not a perfect man. And I don't think any human being on the planet would say that they are perfect either. But he is strong, and he has convictions, and he knows how to get things done. And he knows how to find the smartest people in whatever area it is to listen to them and take their advice.
Ellen, I've noticed two things with Trump, or one thing with Trump, and then another thing that he's going to be faced with as of today, probably. One is, I just have the feeling, and certainly he is, with his ego, he hadn't said anything, but I don't think he was, I think he walked into the White House thinking, well, I've got more management experience, I've dealt with big business, I can handle all this, and I think he's finding out very quickly that it's a bigger job than he anticipated. That's one point. The second thing is, obviously, the Russians have challenged him and will continue to challenge him. And then the little piece of garbage in North Korea has put it on the legal pad today by, I think it was 4 rockets that they shot over the weekend or last night and into this morning. So I think he's got some pretty big decisions to make rapidly. Your opinion.
Yeah. So as far as getting into the White House, I am sure he thought he would have opposition, obviously, from the Democrats. But who in a million years would have ever dreamt that at an address to Congress that people would actually sit down and turn their backs when Barack Obama was in office? All of us Republicans, we were respectful, and we said, well, we'll just get through these 8 years, and then we'll deal with what we deal with. So Trump is facing the Democrats, which he expected, the establishment, which he expected, but now, and I'm speaking only from my own thoughts, to see this internal opposition of the people who are supposed to support the office of president. I think he'll get through it. He's strong and he's tough, and he's going to find the right people to fix this. It's just crazy.
And what about the challenge from North Korea as of last night, this morning?
I'll wait until I've read a little bit more about that to really address it, but I think you had mentioned Russia in your last question.
It's Russia, and North Korea set off 4 rockets over Japan Monday morning, and then as we know, there's the ongoing thing with Russia being an ally of Iran being the holder of Syria right now, and you know, we had the invisible red line that Obama painted, which never amounted to anything, and I think every challenging country to the U.S., Iraq, Afghanistan, everybody, I think they're going to throw a hardball at Trump to see what he's going to do, and we could wind up in a lot. We're very thin, and we can't wind up every place. But I think we're going to be challenged to do so. And I hope Trump has the answer.
I think that over the last 8 years that Hussein Obama let our military get depleted, and that's a huge disservice. But we also have troops around the world defending and protecting all these other nations. If it comes down to it, I would hope that we would pull our troops back in to protect us and just let everybody else fight their own wars.
I agree.
I'm
tired of paying for it, and I'm tired of defending it. Right. With the exception of Israel, I think we have to have that ally and have them very strong. South Korea, we're in a situation that at least Obama didn't totally turn. Well, he turned his back on him, but he didn't do anything as stupid as he did in Afghanistan and Iraq. But I think Trump has some real military. He has economic. He has many other challenges within the United States. His Great Wall and all of that. He's got his challenges here, but I think he has some very noteworthy challenges around the world.
Yeah. Has anyone offered up actual proof as to what Russia supposedly did to influence the election? Everyone talks about it as though it's factual, but I haven't seen anything.
I personally think it was bull. I think it was a distraction, one more distraction. And that this is part of what I was saying earlier that I'm getting sick and tired of, is the distractions. I don't think all of a sudden there were 100 million Russians in the United States voting and influencing our election. It just didn't happen, you know? And I don't think they did it electronically. I just think it's one more distraction, and I'm sick and tired of all of them.
And they do a great job distracting us. They have distracted us. We've all forgotten about Hillary Clinton and her email server. They've distracted us from that. They are very good at that. And to speak to Dan's earlier question about liberals, and they don't seem to be able to defend a particular topic, if you ask a liberal about one issue and try and get them to respond to it, they spin and flip and thrash around wildly trying to shake you off of that question because they do not have an answer.
Your turn, Dan.
They try to browbeat you. They say, what? That's a ridiculous question. Why are you asking that? Or, you know, they try to intimidate the questioner. They try to make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about. So you have to be pretty tough when you ask your questions. I know because I've been there with two sisters, and it's intimidating when family gets on to your case.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay strong and just get them to stick with one topic at a time. Hold them to the topic and see if they can answer. The reason they don't have a response is because they don't have a response. They are not able to answer.
What comes to my mind in listening to this conversation is Trump is a construction guy, so he knows that when you build a building, there are certain steps that you have to go in a certain sequence. And I think he is trying to go through that sequence. You know, he's trying to get the wall up. He sees that as very basic and foundational, and then he'll build on top of that with his other agenda items. But the Democrats want to keep shuffling the sequence on him and, you know, try to confuse what's going on. They want him to start putting in the windows before he's got the foundation built. You know, it's just a mumbo-jumbo, disorganized approach to government. We'll see.
I would agree.
Yeah. Yep. I bet so David's going to say, oh, we got to take another commercial or something.
How are we doing, Dave?
As a matter of fact, we do. So we'll be back with Ellen, Deal, and Dan right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Daryl Pullis inviting you to listen to America's Homegrown Veggie Show right here every Saturday morning at 10 Eastern Time. Great guests, great tips, and valuable information about growing your own vegetables, fruits, and herbs.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key. And the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we do appreciate all the listeners. Just to throw out a little item that I'm very proud of, out of all, and that's not just a few, but all of the legal podcasts in the United States, our show, The Immigration Hour, out of the top seven legal podcasts listened to in the United States, is number three out of seven. And we're just very proud of it. Chuck Cook does a heck of a job and promotes his show very well. And it gets listened to, and we're very proud of that fact. So we thank all of our listeners for tuning in, and we hope we give you some good information. We sort of hope that we entertain you as well. And, you know, when you think of America's Web Radio, we're just one of literally thousands of stations and things you could be listening to at this moment if you're even listening. So the folks that are listening, we appreciate it, and we appreciate the fact that so many of you download different programs and listen to them during the week while you're driving. I think you listen to Dan particularly when you're wanting to go to sleep or you have gas. But other than that, we do appreciate you listening. So anyway, back to the Dan and Dave show.
We're on a first-name basis with all of our listeners because there's only two of them.
Uh-huh.
Mutt and Jeff.
There's a great demand for our show.
Anyway.
My goodness.
Ellen, I think you had a question. Goodness. Hello, Ellen.
So, so before we hopped off to the break, I think we were talking a little bit about church and state. And very interesting about Islam as a religion and a set of laws. So here we are as Americans saying we've got to have separation of church and state. Yet the very government that wants to attack us and destroy us and kill all of us infidels, Islam, is also a religion and a set of laws. I'm sure everyone has heard of Sharia law, and we don't want that coming into our courts. We'll go back to the women protesters for a minute. There are such things as honor killing, which means that if a woman or a young girl dishonors the family, it is within Sharia law to kill her if she has dishonored the family. Now, dishonoring the family can range to something as low as looking at a boy if your parents deem that to be inappropriate. There's also situations where, and I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. Google it. situations where women have acid thrown in their face if the men in that area feel like they are doing something. Who go out in these marches and think they've got it bad, they really should go check some things out in places like Brunei, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, well, yeah, a bunch of different countries. Gays also have very poor rights in countries like that. They can be imprisoned for being gay or flogged or even put to death. So this is something that the left needs to become aware of, but I don't think anyone on the left is probably listening to us right now. But Dave, what were you saying about church and state?
Well, there's a misnomer, and I think you hit on one of my favorite subjects, too, with check it out. That's our biggest problem in the United States. We'll take the word of somebody that has no clue from Facebook that this happens to be factual, and we're too lazy to, as a society, to dig and find out the information. That being said, that's like the misnomer of that, oh, it's in our Constitution, the separation of church and state. Well, we happen to do a show on our Constitution. That has never been in the Constitution, nor will it ever be in the Constitution, separation of church and state. And I guarantee you there's some people out there listening to what I just said, and they're going after the Constitution right now, and they're going to prove that I'm wrong. Well, if you can prove that I'm wrong, give me a call and tell me where it is in the Constitution. What actually happened was when Jefferson was president, a church down the street from the White House was having a dispute. This was a small church, an internal dispute, and a lady wrote the president and said, our church is having a dispute over something, I don't even know what it was, will you please intervene and decide which way we should go on this question? And Jefferson wrote back and he said, this is not, what's going on in your church is not the business of the president nor the United States, nor do I have any legal ground to intervene, nor will I. End of story. That's it. You can look it up. Oh, heaven forbid. There it is. Look it up, and you have to work to look it up. But the fact is, no one listening, no one sleeping, no one, anybody that has a constitution, I challenge them to find any place in the Constitution that it says that there is separation of church and state. There is not. So if you don't believe me, check it out. Get off your butt and look into read the Constitution again. It'll be helpful to you. And I challenge you to find any place in the Constitution that it says references separation of church and state. So
Dan, what have you got on separation of church and state?
Well, I'm just listening, and you were talking about Islam being a religion and a political system, and then Dave talks about separation of church and state. Bring those two issues together. How does Islam fit in to the United States, or how does Muslim faith fit into the United States? Are we going to be able to accommodate Muslims or not?
With our left-leaning media, I think our country still has plenty of conservative people in it, but conservative people aren't used to speaking out and using their voice and being heard. Now, the left knows how to make a lot of racket, like a two-year-old child pitching a fit. They can be heard, they will be heard, and they will wear us out. Kind of like what Dave was saying earlier about the fatigue of dealing with all of this. There is fatigue. But in terms of tying the two together, you have a United States that has been told by Obama that we are not a Christian nation. That's not true. We are a Christian nation. But then you have all of us with it beat into our heads, separation of church and state, so pastors can't speak out. But Islam does not abide by the same rules. As a matter of fact, they are using our misperceptions to their advantage, because they're taking this separation of church and state and then having us focus only on the fact that Islam is a religion, and then they're saying, your laws upset me within my religion, therefore you need to change your laws. And somehow America is missing the piece that their laws, their political laws, are part of their religion. I don't know how people miss it. And my very favorite thing that I do every day on my Call to the Nation on Facebook is I ask people if they know what ISIS stands for. ISIS. Let's play along. Everybody listening, ISIS stands for Islamic State of Iraq and who? It's that last S that a lot of people don't know.
Syria.
That last S, Syria. Very good. 100 points for you. So,
that's
Syria,
that is their, you know, Dan knows that I have someone very close that is in intel, and recently we've been able to do a lot of discussing about that. That is the only ISIS or Taliban or whatever you want to call them outside of ISIS. Syria is their only caliphate, and at that point, the discussion led to the fact that, and this is why we don't understand why we are interested in destroying Syria, because that's the only way we're going to get rid of ISIS, but that's their only quote-unquote state. They have no other territory. I think they have some parched desert in Afghanistan that they've stuck their flag on. But beyond that, the only place that they really have as a state per se, with borders per se, is Syria.
Well, there you have it. And they want to come over here and change our way of life. Another thing about Islam being a religion of peace, the way that they want to achieve peace, and I may be getting a little repetitive, is through getting rid of everyone who opposes them. I bet very few many people remember after the Pulse nightclub shooting, because this video did not make it out very many places, but one of the imams down in Florida was speaking, and he was basically saying, it is merciful to kill homosexuals. That's how their religion sees it. It's merciful.
Well, if a person takes the time, and I'll be the first to admit, I haven't taken the time to read all of the Quran, probably wouldn't understand anyway, but in the Quran, it is their duty, their command to either change your belief to get you to join and be a part of ISIS, this is where I have a problem dividing Muslims off. If they're true believers in the Quran, then they can't be my friend, because it's their responsibility to change me and convert me to Islam, or the Muslim religion of Islam, or to imprison me, or to kill me. That's those three things are clearly stated in the Quran, and then followed through with Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
Convert, capture, or kill.
On 60 Minutes last night, one of the candidates for the president of France was being interviewed, a female, and she likes Trump. She likes a lot of his ideas, and as you know, France has been very welcoming to a lot of people, and Islam has come in a big way and set up communities that are outside the jurisdiction of French law.
Dan, I got to interrupt you.
Had enough.
We're up against a hard break. I want to leave you all with one question. Is France, and when we come back, we'll answer, you all can answer it, is France a Christian country or not? We'll be back right after this.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense, as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Do you have problems with sinus pain and pressure? Do other people smell things that you don't? Have you lost the joy in eating because food just doesn't taste like it used to? Is your nose always stuffy no matter what you do? Maybe you have sinus or nasal polyps. These are generally benign growths that occur from chronic sinus infection or allergies that are either undertreated or have not been treated at all. At Peachtree ENT Center, we specialize in minimally invasive balloon dilation sinus surgery and correction of a deviated nasal septum and turbinate reduction surgery that can be done in the office. We use a state-of-the-art equipment so that you can see the problem. You will be a partner in your care, and together we will decide the course of treatment. We believe in old-fashioned medicine, where we take the time to fix the problem, not just medicate the symptoms. You can rest assured that all options will be offered before surgery is recommended, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show with our guest today, Ellen Deal, and we certainly appreciate Ellen joining us. And as we were leaving for break, I asked the question, is France okay, just off the top of your head, is France a Christian or non-Christian nation? Now, if you'd asked me several months ago, I would have just automatically said, well, you know, I consider it a Christian nation. I you know, their history is... I didn't really know, but I would have answered it's a Christian nation.
And I would have answered that they've been overrun by Muslims, so they're a Muslim / Islamic nation.
Dan?
Yeah, I don't have a vote.
Well, as some folks know, I was in Paris, in France, over the holidays, over the Christmas, New Year's holidays, and I was blown away, but it would be on the minus sign, not the positive sign, of being in France. And Ellen, you're right. France has been overwhelmed by Muslims, and they play the PC game, I suppose. That's the only thing I could address. And I mentioned this to the folks that I was with and we were with. You know, we were there. We got there a couple of days before New Year's. And in walking around and doing the tourist thing and all this, there was absolutely nothing. Nada of Christmas. And I couldn't believe that some of the big stores, the big shopping mall, you wouldn't even have known what, other than being colder than a well digger's, you know, you wouldn't have known it was anywhere close to Christmas or just after Christmas or anything. There were no decorations on the streets. There were no decorations in any of the stores. There was no, there wasn't even a Santa Claus anywhere around, which I know that's not Christian, but there was no Christmas, period. It was like it never existed in, and I can't address all of France by any means, but we did drive and we did make a couple of stops, and again, there was no any sign that it would, we were anywhere close to Christmas. Now, maybe they had already, as soon as the 26th of December, they had already taken everything down and restored it. I can't answer that. But in the United States, until January the 1st, generally speaking, you'll still see some sign, some sort of Christmas, something. Mm-hmm. There was, they didn't have to clean the streets in France to take it, had to away with it, because it was never there. Belgium, where we'd been staying for Christmas and so forth, did have, similar to the U.S., where a town will put up things across the streets, some type of Christmas ornaments, decorations, whatever. They had them, but there was no sign. The closest thing to Christmas decorations in France were the traffic lights, and that was it. I mean, nothing. It was so obvious that even I picked up on it. And the other thing was that, and I know Dan and I've talked about it too, was New Year's Eve. And nothing happened, and maybe they knew that in advance that nothing was going to happen, but I could have been running through the streets naked and nobody would have cared, much less with a cop. You couldn't find a cop in Paris New Year's Eve. And I was, if you'd have bet me money, I would have said there's going to be a cop or a soldier on every corner in Paris mm-hmm. on New Year's Eve. There wasn't one to be found.
Wow, I would agree with you. Dave, were there any Muslim or Islamic calls to prayer while you were there?
I can't answer.
If it had happened, you would have heard it. I was in Tanzania a few years ago, and when they do the call to prayer, it basically sounds a bit like a siren when it starts out, like a tornado siren.
Warning, yeah.
And
Yeah, I know. Yeah, tornado warning, sure.
Right, and then a bunch of annoying, mind numbing drivel / chanting.
You know, we were, this sounds bad, walking the streets New Year's Eve, but we'd walk to our restaurant reservation and so forth, and then from there walked back to where we were staying, and I don't know, well, one, I don't know when they do their call to prayer, nor do I give a damn, but during those hours from about 7:45 until midnight, we didn't hear anything or didn't nothing. You know, like I said, I don't know when they do them, but no, there was nothing. And I was, this is the other side of the coin, where we were staying in Paris is called the Latin Quarters for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
I saw no Muslims. No towel heads running around. So, and I think that from what I understand, even in Paris, they have their own little districts, or they have their own little, they've taken over areas, and this just happens to be one they haven't taken over yet.
Hmm.
I could be wrong.
Very interesting.
The call to prayer is repeated 5 times a day, Dave. So it's morning, noon, night, midday. 5 times a day.
You know, I take a statement. We went to big in Europe over the holidays. Are there quote unquote Christmas markets? Now, in Belgium, you go, and we'd gone to more than I care to count, or in Germany, more than I care to count. We went to one in Paris, outside of Paris. But it wasn't, you know, it's just now dawning on me. It was just a market. It wasn't a Christmas market. It was just a market. And at that market, there we did see a number of, there were plenty of police and plenty of armed soldiers at the market. And there were some Taliads there. But that was the only place I recall seeing them. I didn't even see them doing any of the tourist stuff like at the Eiffel Tower and you know, all the other tourist attractions. So.
Makes you wonder where they were.
Hiding from me. They heard I was from Texas and Georgia and that that I was probably right of a right wing. Mm-hmm. No, I can't answer you. I don't know.
How are we on time?
We are about 4 minutes out, and while you all are talking, I got to line up, get my surveying friends in here. So I'll do that, okay. And you all can talk away.
Ellen, you said that you were looking for statistics on Muslim populations in countries, and the latest data that you saw was 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I found some more recently marked stories, but then I went to the underlying research, and it's all 2010. So I'm not finding anything, you know, current either. That's interesting, isn't it?
That is very interesting that here we are seven years out from that data, and why isn't there more current data? You know it exists, but they're not sharing it with us, and they're burying it somewhere in the Google feed that we can't see it.
Curtis, thank you.
So I'll just go ahead and talk about national security real quick. This is my favorite analogy, and I got it from Dr. Ben Carson, who
is
such a brilliant man that he can take a complex topic and bring it down to a very understandable level. So he was talking about national security, and he said, now let's bring it down to a local level, let's say even the level of your home. When you leave your house, do you leave your front door hanging open and your back door hanging open? No. You lock up your house. That's national security. Then, if someone knocks at your front door, do you just open the door and let them in? No. You talk to them. You find out who they are, and you might not let them into your home. That's national security. And in terms of folks who say that the radical Islamic terrorists are only 1% of the population that's coming in, let's talk about what 1% is, and let's break it down to 1 out of every 100. Let's say you were going to have a party in your home, the home where you lock your doors, but you knew that one person out of the 100 people that you had invited was hell-bent on killing you and every guest at your party, would you still have that party and invite that person? And that's national security.
That's powerful.
You know, Ellen, I want to add one thing to what you're saying there, because this statistic was just blew me away. Did you hear how many folks come into the United States daily?
No.
During all of the immigration stuff, 328,000 come into the United States daily.
And we don't even require that they be able to do anything productive. Every other country, well, maybe not France because they're stupid, but other countries require that you come to their country and show what worth you bring to them, what skills do you bring to them, how are you going to support yourself. And if you are not supporting yourself and trying to live off the country, they will toss you back out.
Okay, with that being said, we got to put a plug in the jug, get out of here, get ready for the NSPS Hour with Kurt Sumner. Ellen Deal, thank you so much for being on today. I'll probably give you a call later. And Dan, as always, thank you. And we'll be talking to you later.
Great guest today, Dave.
We will, yes, sir. And we will be back on the Dan and Dave Show next week on America's Web Radio. Thank you all.